Our King does not remain aloof. Choir's extraordinary today. The children just belted out. There's no hesitation with them. And that's what they were doing on that road into Jerusalem. And the chancel choir, they nailed it because they sang the truth of what happened on Palm Sunday. They sang the truth. Sermon is entitled, What is Truth? Pontius Pilate trying to decide what to do with Jesus. An innocent man, he said, you only have him here out of jealousy. You care less about Rome or Caesar or myself. You care less about the people. You only care about yourself. It is jealousy that desires his death on your part. What is truth? That's what Pilate asked him. What is truth? Truth of the matter is the 30,000 people that were welcoming him as he entered Jerusalem, their expectation was as the choir sang. They were expecting an earthly king. Do you need proof? I'll give it to you. 300 prophecies in the Old Testament pertaining to Jesus. 2 Samuel 7. Prophecy is this. David will have a son who reigns over Israel forever. And there will be rest from all of her enemies. Does that not make you think of an earthly king? Rest from all her enemies. Isaiah chapter 9, we read it every Christmas. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And for the Israelite, the only terminology that really mattered to them was Prince of Peace. He'll set up an earthly kingdom and we'll have something that we've rarely had in our history. We will have peace. 42 kings ruled over Israel over a 400-year period. From 1000 B.C. to 580 B.C., 42 kings. And not one single king was stronger than Sennacherib of Assyria. And while not one single king was stronger than King Ramses II, the Pharaoh of Egypt. And no one was as strong as Darius, the king of the Medo-Persian Empire. And no king of Israel was ever stronger than the Caesar that sat on the throne of Rome. For 400 years, they were enslaved in Egypt, and then they're set free, but they're never set free, because here comes Babylonia, Nebuchadnezzar, and here comes Assyria, and here comes the Medo-Persian Empire. If you have been enslaved and attacked as often as they were, would you not be waiting for an earthly king as was promised by the prophets? 580 years have gone by since the last king sat on Israel's throne. Isaiah chapter 11. The king, when he comes, he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. And with a single breath from his lips, he will command the army and they will kill the wicked. Does that not make you think of an earthly king? Jeremiah 23, the Messiah shall be a reigning king, executing justice on this earth. That's the king that they were waiting for. Not just them, but that's the king the disciples were waiting for. Kept on bargaining about who's going to be the greatest in his kingdom. Simon Peter says, you guys all know that I'll be the most important person. And James and John said, that's fine, we'll take the next positions. And Jesus spends his time, even on Monday, Thursday, saying to them, you got it all wrong. The truth that sits in your head is not the truth that I have come to bring by means of the cross. You've got it all wrong. If you want to be the greatest on this kingdom, you must be the servant of others. There are a few portions of the Old Testament prophecy that bring to light what the choir sang. Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 53, the Jews didn't want to have anything to do with those prophecies because Isaiah said in those two chapters, the Messiah will suffer death on behalf of sinners. Isaiah says he will be beaten, his beard will be plucked out, he'll be spit upon. Psalm 22 talks about the details concerning his crucifixion that hadn't even been invented yet. Psalm 22, speaking of his death on that cross. And David, in his psalm, Psalm 16, 10, he says, the king shall not remain dead. God shall not allow his son to suffer decay. Speaking of the resurrection. If you're an Israelite and you're teaching your children about the Messiah, would you be teaching them about a Messiah who's going to die on the cross? Thank you. Someone's listening. Yay. Oh my goodness, where was I? If you're teaching your children, you're not teaching them about a king who's going to die on a cross. You're teaching them about a king who's going to come. Maybe in your lifetime, dear three-year-old, maybe in your lifetime, this king will come and you will have a freedom that lasts forever. Not for 50 years or 70 years or 80 years till the next umpire comes and swallows us up. You'll have a kingdom that lasts forever. And as Isaiah prophesied, so they taught their children, you will have peace everlasting. The scribes and Pharisees brought Jesus to Pilate's attention. And they said to Pilate, you ask him one question. You ask him the question, are you the king of the Jews? And when he answers yes, then you know what you have to do, Pilate. You remember King Herod, 33 years earlier when the wise men come from the east. You remember Herod, he's sitting there and the wise men come and they make a fatal mistake. They say, we've come to worship the king of the Jews. And all of a sudden, when Herod heard the word king of the Jews, his blood pressure rose extraordinarily. He went berserk. All of the children 2 years of age and under in the region of Bethlehem, you know what happens to them because Herod has gone berserk. One word, king. And 33 years later, the scribes and Pharisees, they use the same device. They say to Pontius Pilate, ask him one question. Are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus says, yes. But then he continues on. He says, Pilate, I'm a king, but not a king as you imagine. I have no soldiers, you know that. I have 12 disciples, but I have no soldiers. I have no throne. I have no palace. I have no desire to rule or conquer or control from a human standpoint. I have God's purpose, not man's purpose. Pilate wanted more of a discussion. He couldn't believe what he was hearing, a king who had no palace, had no army, had no throne. He says, Jesus, tell me more. And Jesus does. He says, Pilate, I came into the world to testify concerning the truth. Remember John 14, 6, day before he died, says to his disciples, I am the way to God. I am the way to peace on this earth. I am the way. I am the truth. I am life. Let me ask you a question. I'll ask the confirmants this afternoon. What are the two most important things on this earth to believe? First most important thing to believe that God is real. The second most important thing to believe, his promises are true. 7,000 of them. They touch your time on this earth and they touch your and mine eternal salvation. God is real. His promises are true. When Jesus says, I'm coming to the world to testify concerning the truth, You remember what John says about him. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us for a time. For those 3 years, the Word of God is on this earth in the form of Jesus. Now we have this Word. The Word made flesh and the Word in print, brought into our lives by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to Pilate, "I'm testifying concerning the truth. Anyone who wants to know the truth about me, about kingdom, about power, anyone who knows wants to know the truth must listen to the words I speak." And then Pilate says, "What is truth?" Pilate says, "What is truth?" There is the world's truth, and there is God's truth. And if you're Baptist, say amen, but you're not. The world's truth. The strong survive, the weak die. And the sooner you learn it, better off you are. The world's truth, most important person in this world is the one you saw in the mirror this morning. Most important person in the world is you. No one else is going to take care of you or your needs. You got to do it yourself. God's truth. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. They know they need God and they are blessed by Him. Blessed are those who mourn over their sins and failures and over the world's suffering, because they'll be comforted by the promises of God. Blessed are those who are merciful, who look at the person in the mirror and say, "I got to get out there and help someone else." Blessed are the merciful, they'll inherit the kingdom. Blessed are the peacemakers, doesn't say troublemakers, says blessed are the peacemakers, for they are part of the kingdom of God. What is the world's truth? I just gave it to you. What is God's truth? You and I are on this earth for a purpose contrary to what the world will ever tell you. And one of the beauties of a Christian education and parochial school, that truth is brought to them every single day by those who teach them. Those truths are brought to them. You'll hear the world's truth when you go to college or the university. When you're working on your advanced degree, you'll hear the world's truth. You'll hear, "Blessed are the rich, may they glory in their wealth. Blessed are the wise." You guys are so wise, man. You are in this program. "Blessed are the wise. Their wisdom will help them inherit this earth. And blessed are the powerful, for their power will enable them to inherit the earth while they're on this earth." That's what we hear. And you have Jeremiah the prophet speaking God's truth. He said, "Let not the rich man boast in his wealth. Let him use his wealth to help someone else. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let him use his wisdom to touch someone else's life. And let not the powerful man boast in his power. Let him use his connections and his power to help mankind and the kingdom. Let him who boasts boast in this truth," said Jeremiah, "that I know the Lord God Almighty, who executes mercy and justice and righteousness in my life and on this earth." Pilate said, "What's the truth?" And Jesus said, "Pilate, you have nothing to fear from me. You have nothing to fear from me." Matthew 6. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Moth, rust, and thieves will do a trick on them. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, because those are eternal, and they will affect your life now, and they'll affect your life forever." Matthew 6:33, "When you wake up in the morning, seek ye first not your face in the mirror." Seek ye first the face of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And if you seek Him for that day, That day will be blessed by Him because you're following and living His word of truth. One day Jesus healed a blind man. Scribes and Pharisees did not ask Him, "Hey, what's it like to see? You're born blind. What's it like to see, man? Describe this for me." They could care less that He could see. They could care less that the withered man's hand was healed on a Sabbath day. They could care less when Jesus touched someone's life for good. They hated Him so much. Why did they hate Him so much? Because after 3 years, He got 10,000 people following Him. And if they're following Jesus, they're not following the scribes and the Pharisees. They got this blind man. They interrogated him. They said, "Tell us about Jesus. Do you think He's a prophet? What was He like? What did He say to you? Do you think He's for real? Do you think He's evil in His attempts?" And the blind man said this to the scribes and Pharisees. "Gentlemen, is He evil? Is He good? Is He a deceiver? Is He true? If you want to know the truth, I'll put it to you as plainly as I can. I was blind, but now I see. Is He evil in His attempts?" And then the blind man preached a little sermon to them. He said, "You remember the prophecy there in the Bible that good trees will bear good fruit and evil trees will bear evil fruit. I was blind, and this individual gave me my sight back. I think He must be good." And the scribes and Pharisees threw Him out of the synagogue and said to Him, "How dare you lecture us? What is the truth? What is the truth?" John the Baptist, child of the desert, the one who said about Jesus, "He's the Lamb of God, I'm not worthy to untie His sandals." John the Baptist, last 2 years of his life, was in the prison, not an ordinary prison. It was a prison of Macarius. It was the darkest, dampest prison that existed at that time. It was like being in solitary confinement for 2 years. And John the Baptist, the free son of the desert, is in this prison for nigh unto 2 years. He knows that when his name is no longer brought in front of the people, they'll forget about him and then Herod will kill him. Why is he in prison? The same reason Joseph was in prison. Because he stood for the truth. Joseph said to Potiphar's wife, "Can't do it." John the Baptist says to Herod, "You shouldn't have done it. You stole your brother's wife. You shouldn't have done it." And Herod throws him into prison. When he's in prison, this question comes. Two disciples still faithful to John the Baptist. He says to them, "You go ask Jesus, tell me the truth. Are you the Messiah, or have I bet on the wrong man? Are you the Messiah, or should we be waiting for someone else? You're out there with 10,000 people following you. You're signing autographs all over the place. You're the talk of the country, and I'm rotting in prison waiting to die. Tell me the truth." And Jesus says, "You go back and tell John." He wasn't angry. He said, "You tell John the Baptist, he's back in the right horse. You tell him that the blind see." I don't ignore the blind. A true king, as the video said, would have no time for the poor. I give sight to the blind. When I see a crippled person, my heart is moved and I go and heal them. When I see a leper, my heart is moved and I go and heal them. When I see that Jairus' daughter is dead, my heart is moved and I go to Jairus and I heal his daughter. You tell him that I'm not aloof, that I'm with the people doing these miracles. And who can do these miracles unless they be from God? And then you tell John the Baptist that I speak the truth about the kingdom of God. Those are not the only people to ask the question, what is true? Jairus asked it when his daughters died. Prodigal son asked it when he's run out of money. The rich young lawyer in Luke 18 says to Jesus, "Tell me the truth. What must I do to have a better life than I have?" Zacchaeus says, "I got all this money. What's the truth, Jesus? What should I do? I'm empty inside. What's the truth?" The unbeliever asks the truth when, with all the money he has, all the vacation homes he has, all the power he has, climbed up the ladders as high as he can get, the unbeliever will ask that question, "What is the truth? Why am I so empty inside?" Mickey Mantle, if you're old enough, you know who Mickey Mantle is. Bill Burke was here last night. He's going crazy when I mentioned Mickey Mantle. Yesterday in the morning, I see a series of articles on Mickey Mantle. Since he was my hero, I looked at the articles on Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mantle died when he was 63. He was an alcoholic all of his life. And Mickey Mantle, in this interview, said, "I have been free of alcohol for the last 8 months. I've cleaned up my life." And then he said in this interview, "I am so empty inside. I am missing something." Oh my goodness, thank you God for letting me see that for this sermon. I am so empty inside. I'm missing something. Bobby Richardson was a second baseman for the New York Yankees. When he retired, he became a Baptist minister. Bobby Richardson went to Mickey Mantle, and he brought the Lord Jesus Christ into Mickey Mantle's life. And on his deathbed, Mickey Mantle said, "My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will deliver me from all my sins, and I will have eternal life in heaven with my Lord and my Savior." That's the first time I had never, ever known that story. The unbeliever asks the question, "What is true?" when he has everything or she has everything, but they're still so empty inside. They'll ask the question, "What is true?" And you pray that God, like he did with the thief on the cross, like he did with the woman at the well, like he did with Jairus' daughter, you pray that God will send someone into their life. And they'll bring the story of Jesus to him. That's what Bobby Richardson did. I have a nephew down in Texas. And he is in the darkest place that one could ever imagine. And when I found that out a month ago, I've tried to reach out to him and his dad. And I'd mention prayer and I'd mention the Lord, and there would just be silence, just silence. And I found out yesterday morning from another relative that this young man, early 30s, says, "I'm not a Christian, I'm a Hindu, practicing the Hindu religion." And my heart sank. From this standpoint, if you and I have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have a God who comes down and stays with us. John 16:33 said to his disciples, "Here's the truth. You're always going to have storms in your life. But take heart, I'm with you in the storm, and I'll help you overcome the storm." We have that. I'm thinking about my nephew. My heart breaks. He doesn't have that. He has some Hindu god who could care less about him, who's made no promises to him. He doesn't have anyone or anything in the spiritual realm. That's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 25. You see someone hungry or thirsty or naked or in prison or sick. They're hungry because they don't have God. They're thirsty because they don't have His promises. They're naked because they have no protection against this world's storms when Satan brings them. You and I have the guy who died on the cross. You and I have the guy who rose from the dead. And now this nephew is at the top of my prayer list. And I will ask for all the wisdom that God can give me to try and reach him. Because I don't want him to be alone in the storm. I want him to have the greatest power that one can ever have in the storm. That is the truth. Closing word, Carrie Hallman. Been battling cancer for the last 2 years. She texted me on Friday. She said, story, when she was flying down to Fort Myers a couple of weeks ago, she said there was a gentleman in the same row as I was. We were separated by a space, but someone came and had to move over and sit next to him. And we started talking. He said he didn't know how much time he had left. I've got incurable cancer. I've had chemotherapy. I've had radiation. In fact, chemotherapy and radiation are so bad, I had to isolate in the basement for 10 days so I didn't harm my family. Carrie Hallman said, I've been battling cancer for 2 years. I have somebody. I have somebody. He said, I have somebody too. Someone gave her a bracelet when she started the battle against cancer. She looked at that bracelet every day. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That bracelet means everything to her. She took off the bracelet and said, God wants me to give you this bracelet. He was already a believer. What is my point? That's what believers do. The believer has the truth, and they want to bring that truth to someone else. Like, I want to bring the truth to my nephew. I want to tell him he doesn't have to be alone in this storm. That's what Christians do. You say to each other, you're not alone in the storm. We'll be here on Friday when he dies. There'll be twice as many here on Easter when he rises from the dead. That is the truth. He's a professional basketball player, Trae Young, Atlanta Hawks All-Star, future Hall of Famer. And as I'm looking this morning, sorry, before I come over to church, I'm looking at the injury report on Trae Young. And he says this, I broke my hand, very disappointed, but God's timing has always been in my life. And I trust God's timing. One Christian speaking to another Christian, speaking to you Christians, that's what we do. We share the truth of the presence of our Lord and Savior in our lives, in the hills and the valleys. In our Savior's name, amen. Heavenly Father, take the promises and the power of your word. May they not just be print on a page, but may they be so indelibly brought into our hearts that they are our anchor, our fortress, our strength until the day we step our toes into heaven. And while we're on this earth, may there never be a day that I do not bring that truth into someone else's life. In our Savior's name, amen.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn. deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.